We're very thankful to God for allowing us this privilege to be here on this Lord's Day. It's good to see all of you that are here and the wonderful way in which all have joined in to sing praises to our great God, singing with zeal, with enthusiasm, and with knowledge of knowing that God truly is real. And all people need to do is to look in our own lives and be able to know that he's real in us. I am very thankful to those of you who are visiting with us today. It's always a joy and a pleasure to have friends, relatives, neighbors, co-workers to come and to share with us in our worship service. And among those who are visiting with us today, I understand that there is a college group from the Commerce Church of Christ, and their ministers with them. The college minister is with them. We'd like for that group to stand if they are present. All right. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you all so much for being with us today. And later on in the service, we will also recognize you again. But that's just how much we appreciate you being here, that you're going to get recognized twice today. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. And all of you who are visiting with us, we just thank you for coming and being with us. I shared with you on last Lord's Day, I began sharing with you a lesson from Hebrews chapter 10. And we were looking at verse number 19 through verse number 25. I want to reread that, and I want to conclude that message on today. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Then verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 22, let us draw near the point that I made on last week, that this verse needs to be seen with God in mind. Let us draw near unto God with a true heart full of assurance, understanding that being in the presence of God is not something that can just happen. Something needed to be done in order for us to be able to have audience and fellowship with God. Mankind, because of his sin, separated between he and his great God. And so, God had to great privilege take care of the sin problem in order for you and I to have this great privilege of being in his presence. Under the old covenant, the Jewish nation would sacrifice bulls and the rams. Take that blood as a propitiation for their sin, allowing them the opportunity to fellowship with God and to be in the presence of God. The sins of the people were being substituted or placed upon the head of animals. The animals became a substitution for the worshiper. But God is on record in saying that he cannot be satisfied. He cannot be pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. So you and I have this great privilege of being in the presence of God because of one sacrifice. That is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why he makes the point that I came into this world. You gave me a body, and through my body I would live the perfect life, give my blood, the perfect blood, the sinless blood, and offer it before God. And that way all mankind that would have relationship with me and come into a saved relationship with me would be able to go into the presence of God and have a fellowship with him. Then secondly, I shared with you how that you and I should not just have a behavior or a desire to just be in the presence of God. But based on verse number 23, he said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And I asked you on last week to see verse number 23 in terms of a covenant that God has made with us. And when you think in terms of a covenant, I shared with you the fact that his covenant is a written covenant. It's a covenant that God has placed in record, that he might remember what he has promised. God does not make covenants with us without promises. That's why the covenant comes in place, because of the promise. God has made promise to us that he would save us. That's the covenant. God has also promised us that in this life, all circumstances that you and I face, he has promised that he'll turn these circumstances into that which is good. The Bible is right when the Bible says clearly that he will be able to take circumstances that you and I face, Romans 8:28, and make those circumstances turn out for your good. That's a promise from God. He has made a promise to you and me that when this life is over, you and I would be able to live with him eternally in heaven, in a place that has been prepared. He made that promise. Jesus made it in John 14:1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are not many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a written promise to you and me. He's promised us that when you and I die, he will give us a new body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible tells us plainly that you and I should never be in ignorance. And that's because of the fact that what he has promised, that he will give all of us a new body. So when you think in terms of our covenant, it's a written covenant. It's right here in the New Testament. And that's why Jesus Christ died, that he might bring us this covenant. And he tells us not to waver in it. Be confident in it, that he who promised, he will keep his promise. Now, your friends may not keep their promise. Jesus is letting you know that God is faithful. If God said it, he will do it. And so don't waver. And so when you think in terms of all of the problems that come into our lives and the things and the obstacles and the impediments that keep you from believing God and causing you to waver in your steadfastness to God, he is simply saying, do not let those circumstances take away the promises of God. God will do what God has promised. And that's why you and I need to have a relationship with him. We want to elevate our serve. We want to elevate our worship. Make sure that you know that I can come to God 24/7. I don't have to just come to him on Sunday. I can come to him every day. I can come to him even at midnight. I can come to God and God will hear me. Why? Because the sin problem has been taken care of. And then not only that, you need to understand that he has written his covenant whereby he will be faithful to what he has promised. And you can always go back and read it. And you can always say God is in your word. And so therefore, he will keep what he has said. And so I want to just end this particular lesson with you on the last two points. Found in verse number 24. Where he says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I asked you on last week to remember that this is dealing with your fellowship one with the other. You have to think in terms of your brothers and your sisters. When we think in terms of being in the presence of God, having a covenant relationship, you cannot overlook the fact that this is a fellowship and a relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not something that God has just promised me, but God has promised us all this. Those of us who are in Christ, we must. That's why each one of these began with let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. You've got to consider your brother. What does it mean to consider your brother? Well, first of all, the word consider comes from a word which simply means to give attention to. It means to fix our attention upon, give continuous care to, be considerate, concern, strengthen one another, help one another. I am assured of the fact that you and I need to understand that this is God's will. That we consider one another when it comes to our relationship with him. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said, and I think it's worthy of repeating, he said, a candle loses nothing when it lights another candle. And you know, when you think in terms of considering your brother and helping your brother and doing whatever you can, it will not take away from you. Amen. To be honest about it, it actually enhances you. It allows you to become more than what you ever would have become if you are considerate of your brother in Christ. Take care of your brother in Christ. Strengthen your brother in Christ. Help your brother in Christ. When I think in terms of the other word, provoke unto love and good works, that word provoke simply means to stir up. Some version will say stir up your brother. You and I need to be stirred up to love one another. You and I need to be stirred up to continue in good works. That word doesn't only mean to stir up, but it also means to make an argument about. When you are dealing with your brother concerning love and concerning good works, there comes a time that you need to contend with your brother about his love. Contend with your brother concerning good works. And that simply means that you're going to have to provoke, stir up one another to help one another to stay where they are supposed to be. You know, some of the newer cars have this feature, and that is when you hit a button, what it'll do, it will keep you in your lane. And if you veer off into the right, something will buzz and alert you and let you know that you're moving out of your lane. And then if you go to the left, there's another that'll buzz you and warn you and say that you're getting out of your lane. And then
when you think in terms of this feature, what it is doing is provoking you, letting you know that when you get out of your lane, amen, I need to remind you, get back in your lane. That's what we're going to have to be to one another. We're going to have to be that to one another. And that is when you see your brother and sister getting out of their lane, you're going to have to buzz them and say, get back in your lane. Am I right about it? You know, so often we are this type. And that is that when our brothers and sisters share things with us, amen, we see them doing something, we try to empathize with them. And we say, girl, I understand. You let them tell you, I wouldn't put up with that either. That's not stirring them up. Amen. That's not helping them to stay in the will and the way of God Almighty. We're going to have to be strong enough to let folk know that when they're wrong, when they're doing something that's out of order, somebody needs to bump them. Somebody needs to say, get back in your lane. That's what God is calling us for. He wants us to consider one another, help one another, help that mother, help that wife, help that husband, help that worshiper, help that man on the job. When you see a fellow Christian, bump him, tell him, brother, that's not what I heard from the Word of God. That's not what I heard the preacher say. That's not what I read in the Bible. Stir one another up and make sure that we provoke one another to love and good works. If we do that in our home, we do that on our jobs, do that in our fellowship, making sure one another that we help one another to do what God has asked us to do. Listen to the scripture. The Bible is right. Jesus says in John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have what? Love one to another. Love is the identifying mark of the people of God. And you and I are going to have to encourage one another to keep loving. Now, I know it's not in the world to cause us to act up and cause us to not want to show love. I understand that. I'm a human just like you. Sometimes I get stirred up, but I'm glad that I got a wife that'll bump me and say, all right, Shelton, all right now. Come on now. You know you're the preacher. Get back in there. Do what you know you need to do. And that's what we're going to have to do one for the other. And love one another. And then John 15:12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says in Romans 12:9, let it not be with hypocrisy. Don't love with hypocrisy. And then I like this one, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. He says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Not just toward one another, but toward all men, even as we do toward you. So the idea is that God wants love to permeate this world, and he wants it to begin among us and then spread out to the rest of the world. This is what the world needs, and we're going to have to consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Ephesians 2:10, the Bible is right. The Bible begins by saying, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You and I need to be about doing good works. What good is it to be in the presence of God? What good is it to have a covenant relationship with God? And then we don't exemplify God through our works, through our behavior, and through the love that God has shown toward us. So we're provoking one another in order to encourage one another to stay where God would have us to be. Then my last point is this, and that is never forsake the assembling. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Watch this now. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Evidently, some of the Hebrew Christians had already begun forsaking the Lord. They had already moved away from their commitment to Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that you and I should not get caught up in missing the assembly. On this point, the first one, you think of God, draw near to God. Second one, let us make sure that our profession is without wavering, covenant. The third one, dealing with our brother and our sister in Christ, considerate of one another, provoking one another. And this one, you have to think in terms of a place. Assembly means that God wants us to come together. And we can't come together unless there is a place for us to come together. In other words, the word has to go out that we are coming together at such and such place. I'm telling you, worship always deals with a place where it has been designated for the assembly of the people and us coming together. When I think in terms of this exhortation, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, when you look closely at the text, the idea is that we must meet often, assemble often. Now, I understand under the old covenant, there were times that God called his people to come together in convocation. There were at least three times in the year that the people were to come together. One was during the Passover, then the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's another that I don't remember. But anyway, what I'm trying to show you, y'all were supposed to laugh at that, but you didn't. All right, no, they ain't laughing matter. You don't know, preacher. All right, but anyway, I know that there were at least three times that the children of Israel were to assemble and come together. God commanded them to come to Jerusalem. He picked a place for them to convocate. He picked a place that they might come together. And you need to know that even when Cain and Abel, they had to come to a place in order to worship God. There's always going to be a place for assembly. Know for a fact that you and I have designated 1013 South Greenville Avenue as the place for our assembly. So when time comes for us to come together, it's important that we keep 1013 South Greenville Avenue in our mind. Why? Because this is where I'm going to meet my brother. This is where I'm going to meet my sister. And we have a designated time. So not only is there a place, but there's a time. You cannot meet just haphazardly. There has to be a time that you have designated. You and I have set 8 a.m. for the first service, 9:45 for Bible class, 10:45 for the second service. Then we have the evening service at 6 o'clock. Those are designated times in a designated place. Why? For the purpose of us coming together, for the purpose of us assembling together. Why does God want us to come together to assemble? That we might consider one another, that we might provoke one another, that we might stir up one another in order to keep the covenant of God Almighty, knowing that we are always in the presence of Almighty God. And when you understand that you and I should be in the habit of drawing near to God, keeping God in all of our business, that's what that means, keeping God in all of our business and realizing that he will not waver on his promise and that you and I must come together when 8 o'clock, that's the 8 o'clock people, they were already here, all right? 9:45, some of them left and didn't stay for 9:45. But anyway, I'm making a point, whether you know it or not. 10:45, that's why you were here. Now, when you talk about assembly, he wants us to do it often. How often should we do it? Well, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, Acts 20:7. Why did they come together? They come together that they might break bread, that we might commune with the Lord. When you and I come together, we come together in order to commune, remembering the death of Christ, remembering how that he was buried and how he was resurrected, remembering how that his blood was the blood of the covenant, remembering how that God took his blood, sacrificed for you and me. You and I ought to come every Lord's Day just to come together to remember how God brought us over. Somebody ought to remember how God brought you through. And so that's why at 8 o'clock, gather around the table of God. 10:45, gather around the table of God. 6 o'clock, for those who missed the 8 and the 10:45, We come back to encourage them, amen, at the 6 o'clock service. But we're all gathering around the table of Almighty God. I remember there's a passage of scripture found in 2 Samuel 9 and verse number 13. I want you to see how that this idea of assembling and this idea of coming together was important in the life of the kings. You remember there was a man by the name of Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually. Now watch what the Bible says. He did eat continually at the what? The king's table, and was lame in both of his feet. Now, Mephibosheth was given the privilege to eat at King David's table. They came together for the purpose of making sure that they realized that it was the king who was blessing them. They came to the table in thanksgiving to King David for overseeing all of their wealth and their wonderful heritage in the kingdom. And they came there in their brokenness. Watch this. He came there in his brokenness, but the grace and the mercy of David. For Mephibosheth was the son of Saul, who sought to kill David. But because of the love of King David, his mercy for the people of Saul, he extended it to Mephibosheth, brought him into his kingdom, set him at his table. Somebody ought to ask me, what you're trying to say, Brother Gibbs? Jesus is our king. He brought us out of our brokenness, brought us to his table. We're here not because we deserve to be here. We're here because God saw fit to rescue us, bring us here, gave us a seat in this assembly. Sit at my table. Take of my blessing. God is saying every Sunday, I need you to be here on the Lord's Day, recognizing that I brought you here. I got you here. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Why? Because it's a benefit that's undeserved, but is granted to you because of the love of Almighty God. And can you picture Mephibosheth, who's broken and understanding mercy has been seen to him? And now I want you to just listen to this. And then when time came and they were all gathered around the table, and somebody looked over and didn't see him at the table, is he showing, and I'm asking the question, by him not being there when he could have been there, is he showing respect to the king? Huh? All right. What if he comes in late? Everybody's already seated, and Mephibosheth comes in late, dragging. All right, now, y'all. See, I know why y'all don't want to say amen. I know why you don't want to say amen. Amen, because you know what I'm talking about. Am I right about it? No, 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 no. When you know God has helped you and brought you there, you ought to be there before the service begins. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to say, oh, no, no, no. You don't have to drag me in here when you know God brought me here. Oh, good point. Good point anyway. Good point anyway. You know, now, I didn't say this to the 8 o'clock service, so y'all tell them that I told y'all that I missed this point and I wanted them to get this point. So when you have fellowship with them and you stirring them up, you stir them up with this message right here, this point right here. All right, but anyway, all right, let me get back to my point. I'm going to end with this. The beautiful thing about it is that this is our response to God for what God has done for us. And you ought to set a time and not forsake the assembling, because your seat will be empty. You will be missed. You will not have the opportunity to encourage somebody else. When you fail to come and assemble, it becomes discouraging to somebody else. So you're going to have to understand that God has placed on you that when you come into his presence, coming to the covenant response of his, that we have a responsibility to our brothers and our sisters. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I'm going to tell you. Your just being here means so much to the people that are around you. I take time and I notice who's around me in my worship. And when I don't see you, I do raise the question, where is my brother, where is my sister? I look to my left, I look to my right. And I'm familiar with the people that are in my cluster. I'm familiar with them. And then I'm also aware when somebody new comes into the cluster. That's what I want you to do. I want you to recognize how important it is for you to be here. Out of thanksgiving to God and the goodness of God, I want you to elevate your serve by looking at how I need to get here. Amen. And I don't need to tarry. And I, if you come in late, I still want you personally, if you come into my cluster late, I still want you to just come. Amen, amen. But I'm going to stir you up and I'm going to bump you now. And I'm going to say you need to get back over in your lane. but that is what it is. You know, we're trying to what? Elevate our what? Our serve. And that means that attendance in worship service and assembly is very important. And don't take it for granted. God is expecting you. And this is my last point. That was supposed to have been, but this is my last point. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to look at verse number 22, and watch what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 22. I want you to broaden your thought about the assembly, and this verse will help you to understand it's more than just about us. The Bible said, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the what? The living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Everything I have taught you about drawing near to God, about the covenant, about your brothers and your sisters, and about assembly is right here in this verse. God is telling you that when you assemble, you have come much broader than just in 10:13, but now you are in the presence of heaven itself. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. God is with us in our worship. Our worship transcends to the heavenly shores itself. We are in worship with an innumerable company of angels. Let me tell you about the angels. When you come into this assembly with your problems, problems in your home, problem with your children, problems on your job, problem with your health. When you come, God has already recognized that this family has a problem, that man has a problem, that young lady has a problem. And I guarantee you that the angels who are his ministering spirits, God sees to it that they minister to us in our everyday need. God just wants to make sure that you understand how you ought not waver. You got to stay in here. Why? Because all of heaven is worshiping with us and recognizing what your problems are and dealing with them in a heavenly way. And he is the one who has made our spirits just. He is the mediator of this new covenant. And I'm just telling you that this is a general assembly. Our assembly is not just here at this place, but we connect with everybody all over the world on the first day of the week. So you need to be here. Join with all of the saints all over the world who are worshiping God on this day. All of heaven is worshiping on this day. They're worshiping the Lamb who died and now has been resurrected and seated at the right hand of God. Everything is worshiping God. Everything is worshiping the Lamb who is at the right hand of God. We are in the Holy of Holies. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And I pray God that we'll elevate our service.
I'm going to end with a song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to share it with you. Here's a song. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I what? Onward bound. Lord, plant my feet where? On higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher what plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height, catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. May God bless you. If you don't know Jesus, then you can't be on this higher ground. If you don't have a relationship with him, you're going to have to make sure that you do so. You do that by hearing the gospel. I preached it. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, substituted his life for your life. Make sure that you know that he is resurrected, that he is the Son of God. You believe that with all of your heart, and then you repent of your sin, and then confess him to be the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, verse number 32. Tell the world, don't be ashamed of your profession. Don't be ashamed of your commitment to him. Tell them that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. Live like you believe it. And then go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin. That's what it does. In water, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all of your sin, gives you the privilege to stand before God, come before him, draw near to him, because the sin problem has been eternally taken care of by Jesus Christ. I just believe somebody ought to want to have this kind of relationship, this kind of assurance. I pray that you'll come. I pray when we stand and sing, you will come and submit yourself to this Christ. If you have not been faithful, I pray that you'll rededicate your life. Come on, let's elevate our serve. Let's get on higher ground. Let's do what God has asked us to do. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table.